Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host, our favorite co-host.
The only one.
I better be careful what I'm saying there.
The only one today.
For this program today, you're it.
That's it.
So good to have you here.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I am doing fine.
Good.
But, you know, I was telling you earlier that I have this secret wish. I'm sick and tired of Fauci.
Yeah.
But we're perpetuating him because he's still alive and well.
Yeah.
He's losing steam, which is very good, and that's the good news. But my concern is that he hasn't lost enough steam, and he's still out there. He's still getting a lot of attention, but he's had some setbacks.
Yes.
And the big question will be, if it isn't Fauci, is it going to be somebody else that in 6 months or a year, let's say we continue to improve the lockdown and getting rid of the lockdown. Certainly there's been improvements, and people are celebrating, but there's still a lot of people say, I got to wear that mask. And it's almost like, I feel naked without it,
yeah,
and I have to put my mask on. So that's the thing that they have to contend with. But my contention is what happens if things get really pretty good and we have a pretty good summer, but come October 1st, they've just discovered one much worse than COVID.
Yeah.
Of course, that wouldn't take a lot of effort to find something a lot worse. But anyway, they've scared people before. There's still a vulnerability. So I guess we're going to have to keep exposing Fauci for a while longer, but we had some help in the last couple days here. But the first thing is I know he's still alive and well.
Yes.
He's now a publisher.
Oh,
he's now printing a book, getting a book done. But it's going to be easy reading. That's because people don't read big books anymore. Our school system isn't too good at teaching people to read. So he's keeping it small. But I can't be too critical of that. I sort of like small books,
small books.
To the point. But anyway, he's writing a book. And the big question will be, will he reveal some secrets and tell us the truth, or will he be more covering up? I predict the latter.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have any revelations. But he ought to be careful because he was caught in some inconsistencies, and we'll talk about that too. But there's the book, 80 pages. I don't know, and I think he'll make more than a buck a book.
Yeah.
I think it's like 15 or 20 or so. And I wonder if he's going to sign all those books too. But anyway, he's out there with the book. And it will be annoying because we don't think he deserves that much attention. He deserves attention, but we'd like to direct the attention, and that's what we'll do with some of these items. But his book is coming out in November. So November's a long time off. Maybe he'll even be further discredited by November.
Well, let's put up that first clip, and we'll have a look at the. Apparently, this is the cover of the book. If we have that first clip. This is weird for a number of reasons, Dr. Paul. First of all, just a quick glance at it looks really gross. It looks like that mask is infected with some kind of fungus or bacteria. I would not want to put something like that on my face, even if it were, of course, clean, but it looks awful. It looks like he's worn it for a month and it's full of mucus or something. But the other weird thing is the title. And I kept thinking about this. This is sort of ironic. Expect the unexpected. So, if this was an unexpected pandemic that came out of the blue, what is he trying to tell us? That he expected it all along? It's a weird and ironic title. But, you know, he is the highest paid government employee. He makes almost $500,000 a year. He's writing a short book on, quote, his life philosophy, which just seems pretty, it sort of reminds me of Cuomo. Remember how he wrote a book about how great he was during the pandemic and then he crashed and burned. But 80 pages long, $18 a copy. I don't know what a publisher gives you in terms of how much you get per copy, but you know, people have worshiped at the Church of Fauci for the past year. So you are going to see millions of people who really literally view it as their religious duty to go out and purchase this book. So he's gonna make untold millions of dollars, unless, as you would suspect, he might crash and burn before then, but he'll still, among the so-called resistance types, he'll still make millions and millions of dollars off of this book. I don't know, Dr. Paul. I'm not really that interested in his life's philosophy, but a lot of people will be.
We could probably predict it. I don't think he ever heard, at least he doesn't reflect it, that he ever heard of a non-aggression principles.
No,
but he's probably never heard about property rights or free market medicine or independent thinking or maybe you know, how science really works. Its definition of science is a little mixed up. A little mixed up, to say the least.
Here, before we go on to the email, I know we want to do that next, but I just wanted to put up this tweet. This is from a writer for the Daily Caller, and I think he kind of captures a large part of the nation's view about this. Greg Price writes on Twitter, Dr. Fauci is publishing a book and became the highest paid federal government employee while you lost your business and you had your kids out of school for a year. And I think he captures a lot. Certainly on our side of the issue, that it looks like he's cashing in on this pandemic.
I mean, we just complain about all the support he's still going to get, and he's going to sell a lot of books. But there has to be millions of people
like
that are going to agree with that.
Yeah, it seems unseemly.
But it's the propaganda is a powerful weapon, powerful tool, and especially when it's coming from official sources.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a lot of money to promote their propaganda. So if you're ready, I want to bring up this thing about the emails.
Emails.
It looks like the big news.
Yeah,
it looks like the emails have, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes emails reveal things that people don't want revealed.
Yeah.
I don't care that much about emails. I do them when I can answer yes or no or something. But the email thing, it's pretty amazing. But this is revealed that he really knew what was going on, and he didn't get made to look better. He's been made worse by the revelation of the emails. Some more truth. I mean, it wasn't enough truth that he's going to be arrested or anything like that.
Yeah.
But he should be embarrassed by this, and he should lose credibility. That would be the most important thing. If people read that and took it into consideration of what's going on, he should lose credibility of this. But because even some of the liberals had to back down, which is a good sign when that happens. They didn't back down for anything, even though there's been quite a few people when we were in that group that over a year were telling people, watch out, you know, don't believe all this stuff. This stuff about the danger and this need for a mask and all of what the kids had to do. You know, this has been around, but I think this... It would be nice, Daniel, if we decided after the dust settles that email exposure will become more significant than his book.
Yeah. And there's a lot to go through. This was a FOIA request, and as you know, as we would say, sometimes good things come out of this. So this was not Russian hackers. This was not secret Belarusian trolls. It was a FOIA request to get all of the emails that he was involved in the whole year, and there's a lot to go through, and it hasn't really even touched the surface, and we don't even have time to click onto a few of them. But one thing that jumped out at me, Dr. Paul, was an email from Mark Zuckerberg, the head of the CEO of Facebook, where he basically made a proposal, and there are a couple of things. The first thing is he offered Fauci, hey, I'm going to use my platform, and I'm going to use my broad exposure on my own platform to help push the official U.S. government line on this. Please tell me how I can do it, how we, you know, not in so many words, but how we can suppress anyone who's questioning the official line, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's a weird blanked out paragraph where he made some kind of offer, and we know that because in a subsequent email from Fauci back to Zuckerberg, he says, thank you for that kind offer. And when Fauci emails his colleagues, he talks about an extraordinary offer that Zuckerberg makes. So that is one interesting thing. But the other thing that's interesting, we have a couple of tweets from Alex Berenson on this, were that the leak theory was seriously being considered from the very beginning. At the same time, they were screaming conspiracy theory, kook, lunatic. They were actually behind the scenes in their emails, very concerned about that and the possibility that the virus was engineered. This is not to say that we believe either of those, or that we're pushing either theory, but just that as they were publicly saying one thing, they were actually scrambling in the back. And Let's look at these three Berenson. He's been diving into it, and this is February 1st, 2020, a big day for Fauci. That afternoon, he had a conference call with virologists, one of whom had just flagged the potentially engineered features of SARS-CoV-2 to him to discuss a document called Coronavirus Sequence Comparison. Let's do the next one. But Fauci had other calls. He emailed his deputy, Dr. Hugh Auchincloss. Subject line important. He attached a paper from Nature magazine describing gain-of-function research on coronaviruses. And then, Hugh, it's essential that we speak this morning. Read this paper. We will have tasks today that must be done. So this is not a smoking gun, and we're not pretending it's a smoking gun. What we're saying is things were happening behind the scenes, very different from the public face of Fauci and the others.
You know, all this activity with these emails, it sounds very, very serious, very, very important, but it doesn't have anything to do with money. Zuckerberg isn't looking for money or a business edge, but it's very, very important to what's going on in society today, because the Zuckerbergs, social media, big businesses, and big banks are partners with the government, and they're in the political correctness business. Yeah. And it's hard to understand sometimes that people that we assume are in there to provide a product and make some profits. But there's a lot of pressure put on them to do exactly what they're told to do. And so I think Zuckerberg is a cultural Marxist, because what he likes to, I mean, if he's cheering on somebody like Fauci, he wants chaos, and that's what they're getting, and that to me is what's going on in this country today. Is there's so much of this radical political correctness that every day you read some insane thing going on, and I think have a couple we'll mention later on, but the stuff is so silly, and I can only understand that when I put it in the context of what the ultimate strategy is to change our culture, our philosophy, our position, and deal with the negative aspects of what they would like to say about all Western civilization. Yeah. Anything that's been created, they want to destroy it. And then you say, well, that makes sense. That's why they have these crazy things that makes no sense whatsoever. But it does turn, actually, members of families, communities, they say, I agree with this and not this. Yes, you better wear your mask, this time, on and on. So that's part of what's going on there. But he went out of his way to expose his alliance with him. So I don't think we should call Zuckerberg soon and say, "Hey, Zuck, we're libertarians and we believe in the free market and the principle of honesty, and we'd like you to join us." that'd be a joke.
We shouldn't hold our breath.
Yeah.
But here, excuse me, this tells you everything you need to know about the mainstream media, because while people like Berenson and many others are pouring through these emails, trying to figure out what the heck has been happening this last year, let's look at CNN's coverage of the emails. Let's look at this next clip. This is unbelievable. This is so classic. Thousands of emails from and to Dr. Fauci reveal that weight that came with his role as a rare source of frank honesty within the Trump administration's COVID-19 task force. It's just so obsequious. It's unbelievable. But I think before we move on to the next topic, I just wanted to say one other thing, Dr. Paul, and we've talked about this privately as well, but there is a concern. I think on Lou Rockwell today, he has an article from David Cole, which I think is important. There is a concern that the right wing is turning Fauci into too much of a symbol to trash him for their real goal, which is trashing China, which is trying to look for a fight with China. So I think there's a danger. We do pick on him a lot for what he says and the things he's done and how his policies have destroyed the country. But there is a danger of the right wing of Republicans using him as a symbol and basically a swing and a miss, because you may take down Fauci. But we talked about literally just before the show, the real danger is what comes after Fauci. The real danger is the fact that hundreds of millions of Americans have simply put their head down and put on a ridiculous mask and take shots in the arm and do all kinds of insane things like shut their businesses simply because some bureaucrat said boo And that, I think, is the real danger, not Fauci himself.
But when they do this, they're very good at picking, this thing, and painting the Chinese as very, very evil people, you know, and they have a lot of problems. But the one thing that I've tried to do over the years is saying, put it into context of where we are. What about this Huawei? Wasn't this the one where we just arrested?
Yeah.
We went to Canada and arrested the leader of Huawei. Yeah. But it's always China's 100%. And I keep thinking, you know, in the big picture, we had the reserve currency, we printed the money, and we spent it willingly, and we spent it in China, and they saved it, and they started buying up capitalistic properties and R&D and all these things. But that doesn't mean, but immediately, Ron, I have lost you on this one because you're making excuses for China. Now, I'm just trying to get the balance out there to the point where, they're responding, and China has problems. But if people like, I think Lou has the right point that there are the military industrial complex, because that's another partnership, the military industrial complex. You have to have an enemy, and so therefore China has. China has, filled that position, and people are really anti-China now. Even in some of the interviews I've done recently, I'm surprised
upset.
How strong it is, and the callers in and that feel that way, and even the interviewers that I didn't think would be this way. But what about what they just did? the whole thing is, and I may be wrong on this, but I try to understand all this, all the viruses and things. But I have trouble believing. Yeah, I think you can show that China knew things and things came out of that lab and we sent money over there. But the big thing is how are they going to prove what it did? I mean, the test isn't even reliable.
Yeah.
I mean, the developer of the test, I can make my test show anything you want, and then they're going to base the next World War III based on items like this, and I don't think it's so far we've seen a good academic discussion, and I don't think that we have been following science either.
Yeah.
I think we've had a lot of distortion of science in this past year and a half.
Well, I think the another irony is that the Republicans and the right wingers, in their rush to oppose China, at least on the surface, completely fail to more energetically oppose those actual things that the Chinese government does that we have adopted that are the worst things, like the de facto social credit score, the vaccine passport idea, the idea that you can be locked down. All of these are things that we've adopted, the worst parts of China, but all they want to do is have a blanket condemnation of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So but I guess we should move on to something, because we also spent a lot of time talking about the insurrection, right? We were this close to having a military dictatorship run by a guy wearing a buffalo head on his head.
You know, I want to mention one thing is, before we get into this article we're going to talk about, but I mentioned it the other day, because I get tired of hearing, this is the worst insurrection since the Civil War, you know, and what they did, these bad people. And they've gathered up all the guns already. We know how many guns there were.
Zero.
And we know how many people died. The government gun shot a woman, you know, and the insurrectionists didn't have any guns. What they were saying is that the insurrection, but I say in 1954, I remember 1954. I wasn't in Congress, but I do remember when the Puerto Ricans got in.
Yeah.
And you know what they were hacked off about? If you go back and look at it, they were hacked off because we took Puerto Rico in 1898. We just took it.
We'll take
it. You know,
that.
And a few people, you know, might still be upset about it, even though that's history now, doesn't count. But these five, four guys that went in there, got their guns up in the balcony and shot and wounded five members of Congress.
Wow.
And compared that to this, and did he say that this is the worst insurrection ever? And so anyway, that's what's going on now. Feds moved to drop the charges, though, of somebody that they captured in there. And, you know, even though it's still known, because it's been said in the media, that everybody there was a radical Trump supporter. No, there's nobody from the left. There could be no agitators at all. But I just wonder if when the dust settles that we might get some more information. You'd think, well, if it gets into court, this would be a good time to find out exactly what these guys are. But I'm not holding my breath on that.
Well, there's been at least one left-wing provocateur who was arrested because he's the guy who took all the video and sold it to CNN and other places for $90,000 he made. And he was the one saying, let's burn this blank, blank down, agitating. But let's put up this next clip because this goes with our ongoing coverage of what's happening. We do know that hundreds of people have been held without bail on nonviolent charges, and most of them have zero criminal records. But here's some NBC News. Prosecutors seek to drop first Capitol riot case. Christopher Kelly of New York. Let's go to the next clip, because I clipped this part out, Dr. Paul, because this is really fascinating. Okay, the point is that they're going to drop the case against one of these guys. He's one of the first of nearly 500 Capitol riot cases to collapse for lack of evidence. Now, I highlighted this part because it's interesting. The man, Christopher Kelly of New York City, was arrested January 20th after the FBI said a paid confidential informant told agents that Kelly was posting material on a Facebook Messenger app about the riot and his plans to be in D.C. So this says a lot, Dr. Paul. We know that we have a crime gone out of control in the U.S. We know that Chicago is a war zone. We know that killings, murders have gone through the roof. And what do we have the FBI doing? The FBI is literally paying people to roll through Facebook and try to find out if anyone posted that they were going to go to D.C. on January 6th, and then they go knock down their doors and arrest them and hold them without bail.
You know, it'd be nice if we could be very confident and brag about our justice system and that there's a lot of good people in the FBI. It may be true, but the results aren't all that worthy. But, you know, if we expect justice, we might get bits and pieces, and that's good, and it should be encouraged. But if it's used for chaos, just what you described, that's infuriates people. They just go looking looking for people and arresting them and go to Facebook. Yeah, well, Zuckerberg, I'll help them, you know.
Sure, he does. Yeah.
So but the chaos is their goal, and this contributes to it, so if they can make stuff up, and an incident like this certainly gives them a lot of opportunity. But at the same time, think of the chaos in the inner cities last year. Even though most people would argue that that came from the far left, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, but still, you know, it was the chaos that they were quite happy with. We'll clean up this mess. Let's kick all the police out of town, and then that'll help doing it. No, they want the chaos, and those cities are going to have chaos for a while. You know, when the real economic numbers come out and the understanding, everything's fake on the economics because everybody gets a check. Nobody wants to go to work. I'm making more money than I could if I could have a job.
If you ever saw,
and the country's really, really poor. So they sit at home and they don't produce. And there's people begging for workers to try to get back on their feet again, and they can't hire people. Only government could screw things up that badly. The Marxists did it.
Well, we had a couple of little minor items we wanted to pour over, and the first one is about a university, Dr. Paul, that charges $60,000 tuition per year. So imagine you send your kid off to school, you hope that they're going to get a good education, you really tighten the belt, and you put out $60,000 a year, and this is the stuff they're listing. Let's look at that next link. Brandeis Dean declares yes. All white people are racists. Kate Slater, Brandeis University Assistant Dean.
Yeah, and I think she was one that said that she does not hate white people and she's not a racist. She just hates whiteness. So somebody said, well, you know, what if somebody said, I'm not a racist, I don't hate black people, but boy, do I hate blackness.
Yeah,
do you think they would get away with that nonsense? You know, that's so silly.
But isn't it crazy? $60,000 a year, you get your kid back, and your kid is completely psychotic because they're studying under weirdos like this.
Yeah.
I guess the next one we are looking at, if you want to move on, is the issue of Virginia County. And they had a school board meeting. Let's put up that next one if we can. This is interesting. Virginia schools warned to revoke teacher suspension for opposing using students' preferred pronouns. And Dr. Paul, you spotted this before, but this is Loudoun County again. We've talked about them before, what the crazy stuff they're doing. But he's a teacher. He went to a school board meeting. They said, hey, you gotta start calling people whatever they want to be called from now on. He said, that doesn't sound right to me. But just by going up and expressing the fact that he doesn't think this is a great idea, he was suspended from his job. So it's fascinating.
What if they even had a tinge of discussion about science? Don't you think there would be something to think about when they start talking about the science of gender? There's some articles written, like it used to be that, it looks like they come up with three or four or five different genders. No, it's into the hundreds now, and everybody's a special category.
Yeah.
It's just total nonsense. And of course, the libertarian solution to this is always that two individuals can do what they want as long as it's voluntary and no use of force, and a government shouldn't be involved. So, but it's chaotic. But once again, this stirs up the emotions. There's no doubt about it. And the practical emotion: did I pay all this money for my kid to learn this? And I think it's a pretty easy to take a kid that's 18 or 19 and goes off to college, a big college, a lot of money, and I'm going to one of the greatest schools, and to walk in there and challenge the teachers or something, and they try that, and then they say, you might not graduate. Might not even get through the first year if they do that.
Well, the good news about this is that the Alliance for Defending Freedom, and I don't know what the organization is, but at least on the surface they look good. They've taken up this teacher's case. They've written a letter and they said, if you don't get rid of the suspension and take anything bad out of this teacher's file, you're going to face a lawsuit for that.
Yeah, this is great.
Now, that's good that organizations like that do spring up and they do help people.
Wake up, folks, and do it.
Yeah. I think you had one final one
about one more, Texas, which is, it's interesting, and I think it's a little bit confusing because I think you'll find conservatives probably disagreeing with what I'm going to say, but you'll get your say too. But the title is Texas Passes Bill Requiring Sports Teams to Play the National Anthem. Well, we ran into the situation where the owners of the team said that they could not, play the national anthem, and it was anti-patriotism, this sort of thing. But this is so unnecessary. It makes me think about the laws that we would be given to vote on in Washington about flag burning.
Yeah.
And if you ever get caught burning a flag, you'll go to prison for life. And the whole I asked one of my brothers once. And I didn't think he was really into politics. I said, this came up when I first went back to Congress, and I said, what do you think about the flag burning? He was much better than I thought. He says, who owned the flag? it was not complicated for him.
It's a typical Republican response. You have the problem of taking a knee and this and that and the other. The typical Republican response is to miss the principle.
Have another law, and to require it is foolish. It never became an issue until the combination of big business and government and cultural Marxists and the political correct people went nuts, in making the point we don't have to stand, we don't have to do this. And that was just to get people upset. And they did. They got a lot of people upset. But it's just too bad they just couldn't do it on their own. Maybe it did. Some of it happened. Some of the people just got sick and tired of going to football games and baseball games.
Absolutely.
And there are ways to do it without resorting to go to the government and say, pass a law and say, okay, you will have the national anthem and you will stand. Well, that sort of puts a dent into voluntarism.
And meanwhile, they were incapable in Texas of passing a law to limit the governor's emergency powers.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I was going to close with something. You know, Dr. Paul, yesterday was the official opening of hurricane season. And I know all you seasoned Texans, they take it all in stride. I must not be a Texan yet, but I still get very nervous about hurricane season. I don't like floods. I don't like all this stuff. But thankfully, the CDC is there to help. And they put out a tweet yesterday. Let's put it up. Prep your health for the hurricane season. Thank you, CDC. Here's what they suggest. Make an emergency plan. Sounds good. Collect supplies and create go kits for your family. Good advice. Know a safe place to shelter. Have several ways to receive weather alerts. Get a COVID vaccine as soon as you can. This is how you prep for a hurricane, according to the CDC. I would call this the jump the shark moment for the CDC.
You know, that still dominates. When I have to call in prescriptions, I'll get hold of the druggist. You know, after I hit about 10 numbers, I finally get on the drug. But each time they give me a number, have you had your vaccine shot? You do this. Is this your second shot? And it's all about the vaccine. It's over, folks. Yeah. The pandemic's over. It was hardly a noticeable, you know, and nobody knows how many people really had it.
Yeah.
You know, the statistics are all messed up.
That's it for me, Dr.
Okay,
Paul.
And I want to thank our viewers for tuning in today to the Liberty Report, because I think that there's lots up for grabs. I do believe that we play a small role in trying to move people toward the principles of liberty. And nobody knows how effective anybody can be, but I have been impressed over the years that individuals can play a role in trying to introduce others to the principles of liberty. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, it. So one-on-one is available to everybody. And if you're not sure about where the principles of liberty have come from and what it means and what you can do or can't do, it's all available. I mean, the websites out there are fantastic. The Mises Institute, if you're interested in the economics of free markets and how things are worked out, you should go there. But there are a lot of other ones. But we do appreciate you coming to the Liberty Report to check up on the news and our you know, effort to try to show people that liberty is the answer, and that if you're looking for peace and prosperity, then you should believe in voluntarism and you should believe in personal liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.